This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, getting ready to talk with Dave Hellman from DallasCowboys.com. We'll chat with him momentarily to get his take on LSU, I guess, and also the Cowboys. One of the things I did see is he tweeted out, man, great stuff from Sean and RJ this morning interviewing Jerry Jones. They asked all the right questions. Nothing headline grabbing from Jerry, but lots of questions that were very important to what the Cowboys are doing. And one of the questions that I liked the most was, because we discussed this was my biggest weakness for the Cowboys the entire game, was cut five, was the way your defense played during the run disturbing?
I don't know that I have too many weeks regarding the Cowboys that I'm not disturbed. There are all kinds of things. About the time, it's like holding two handfuls full of Jell-O. And about the time that you stop it from coming out the middle finger by the forefinger, about the time you start it over there, then it starts coming out the other side. And that's what makes this game so great. That's what makes the challenge so great. And you think you've got it figured out, and two games later, the defense you face will have had it figured out for you. So anyway, you get my drift here. We just got to keep our head down. We got to keep pushing. We've got outstanding players. We've got some outstanding coaches. And we by no means need to call it a day relative to not only this season, but with what we're trying to do and where we're trying to go with this football team. We've got a lot of football ahead of us, and we've got some good things that can happen.
Kevin, we've listened to a number of Jerry Jones cuts from this morning. Sean and RJ have him on every Tuesday. We'll talk to him on Friday.
Yep.
I heard a lot of deflecting from Jerry today. I heard a lot of, because he never really even answered that question, did he?
Yeah.
Did you find your run defense disturbing?
And then he just said, well,
there's an anecdote, right?
Yeah, and there's a lot of times that, I'm always disturbed about something with the Cowboys. I think that was kind of his way of going, yeah, but the different S for a different week.
That's really not, that's like, that's a sign to me that he doesn't like what he sees. And I know a lot of people are like, we talked about this morning, should they be freaking out a little more? When Bill Parcells was coaching, if something was going well, Bill Parcells was like, hey, let's shut that down. Remember whenever Tony Romo like burst onto the scene and he said the anointing oil and everybody lost their minds about oil, and so he wants to knock you whenever you're up, whenever you're down he's supportive, and Jerry Jones is trying to support. There was a lot of confusion yesterday. Jason Garrett came on to our air, and he was on with Sean and RJ in the morning, and they asked him about the punt. And he gave an answer. Well, then the player later on said, hold on, that's not what happened. And then whenever, because everybody in the media listens to 105.3 The Fan.
Yeah. Have you never seen Twitter?
Did you see, did you see yesterday, during the press conference with Jason Garrett, they were asking all the questions that had been asked, because now we had completely new updated thoughts. And so they're asking those questions again, and Jason Garrett's getting grilled up there. That's the hot seat. That's what it feels like. And Jerry, who realizes that they're still in the middle of a season. This isn't them sitting there saying, hey, we're done or we're just getting started. They're still in the middle of the season. He's doing what he has to do in order to help kind of sway things and deflect just a little bit for Jason Garrett.
Now, for Garrett, do you want the back-to-back things from the presser yesterday about him sort of, explaining his way out of the logistical circle? Let's go with 33 first. Was Tavon told to fair catch?
Yeah, we didn't communicate that well enough. You know, in that situation, you got a couple different options. You can go try to block the punt, and we decided not to do that. We decided that we thought there'd be a good chance that we could get the ball around the 50-yard line. So the biggest coaching point for Tavon was make sure you don't bleed the rest of this time off by spending a lot of time trying to return the ball. So fair catch was a very viable option. The part of it that we didn't communicate well enough was just simply, if you do feel like you have a good return opportunity, take advantage of it, catch it and go north and south and get as much as you could. So we did a poor job as a staff making sure he understood that, and hopefully we'll learn from that experience.
And then the follow-up logically is, are you surprised at the breakdown on that fair catch?
Yeah, obviously we didn't handle that situation well enough. We did get a chance. We got the ball on the 48-yard line and you know, a pretty good opportunity there. But I think if you look at it, you say maybe there was a chance to have him catch it and go north and south and maybe make 10 or 15 yards and start that drive a little closer to the end zone.
That, and see, I wish that he would have made that play so that he could start that drive a little bit closer to the end zone. Of course that's what you want. Of course that's what you want your player to do. But what I don't understand is how you're not communicating the message. You've been coaching this team for 10 years now. 10 years. And you can't get your guys on the same page of what you want to do in a dire situation like that? That's an emergency situation. Hey, this is the reason, Kevin, that Bill Belichick teams have won Super Bowls. Year in and year out, they go back to the Super Bowl. I know they also have a very easy division, too, and that kind of helps them.
Yeah.
But the reason that they have, you know, they go to these big games and in these moments they have the big plays work in their favor is because they prepare for them. Now, I don't know how often are you going to be in a situation where you're at the 50-yard line receiving a punt with an opportunity to take the game?
Not a whole lot. Well, I mean, it feels like we're in situations at least.
Even still,
you should have
a plan for that, yeah. Right? And everybody on your team should know. Everybody on your team should know what that plan is.
This is a really good point from the 214. The only reason you don't go for the block is to have a chance for a return. Otherwise, if you're just going to fair catch, like if that was the idea all along, why not sell out every other single person or don't put anybody back there and try to get the block? From the 214, I'm really upset about how little Jerry cares, but I'm not surprised because all he cares about is money and ratings. I've heard that for a really long time. And from the 469, why, though? It's a game. They owe me nothing. It's pure entertainment only. If they win, great. If they don't, okay. I think that is a very that's like a minority point of view in the sporting community. And I wish that I was able to roll with the punches as well as that person. But no, I look, just text in. I'll tell you what, do me a favor right now. 877-881-1053. If you want to elaborate on the specific situation, please do. Otherwise, just say yes or some variation of that word. Have you ever had a day or a time period ruined by a sports loss? Because that person,
I used to.
Yeah, because that person who's like, if they lose, it's fine. Like, that's not me.
That's the point that I've reached, though. And that's because my early days, like my, you know, my childhood, my birthday falls on one of those early Cowboys games. I can't tell you how many birthdays I had that were just ruined because the Cowboys blew a game they should have won. And
go back to Thanksgiving of, was it 93? The Leon Lett game. I remember, like, what a mood changer that was. When, like, you snatch defeat from the jaws of victory in that situation, which kind of feels like what we did on Sunday, and, like, how much that changed. Like, a holiday, a big holiday. And so I am not like that person. I wish I could be like that person and be like, well, we'll get him next time. But that's not me. That's not me at all.
From the 817, they wanted to point out, you know, with Jason Garrett's preparation for this team, like Dirk, shoot his warm-up. Remember Dirk's warm-up? You're like, why is he taking that shot? Why is he doing that? Because what if I have a moment where my body's contorted that way? My body should be able to be warmed up and ready to make that shot if I need to. Tiger Woods used to practice the shots he couldn't make so that he could make those whenever it came down, because whenever you're in a tournament, you're not going to hit everything perfect. You're going to be stuck in the sand trap. You're going to be stuck behind a tree. And so he wanted to be able to do those things whenever that happened. And yeah, I saw somebody say, oh yeah, Green Bay. And I'm not this year, but you know, when Dez caught it, that ruined my day. I was down when Jared Cook did what he did, Kevin, me and my buddy were down there enjoying the hell out of that game. And an entire group of Tolos, Kevin, about 65 people, They couldn't get into the place that across from where we were because it was so full. So they came over and hung out with me and my buddy at the other place, and we watched the game there. We're going nuts. And then we were ruined for the rest of the day. I drank a lot that night. I drank a whole lot that night.
Man, can you imagine what would happen? See, that's the whole thing. You know how I know people care about sports? Not only because of the fan text, but because the alcohol industry exists. Like, how much smaller would the alcohol industry be if people weren't emotionally invested in sports? From the 4-6-9, just imagine if he runs the ball and loses it, or gets tackles inbounds and runs time off the clock. That's not how special teams works, first of all. They stop the clock regardless of where you get tackled on the field. How would you be reacting to that? But that's the whole thing, is like, you would tell Tavon Austin, don't run east to west, like only run north to south.
And he had plenty of room.
Yeah, and whatever, that's just basic physics right there. He's going to get more yards in a shorter amount of time that you can conceivably do in a regular play, because he will take off straight away with the ball in his hand.
He ran like a 4.3 40 coming out of West Virginia.
Yeah, and so that would be my argument to that. And I'm sad that some people are giving specific examples, because some of them make me sad as well. But overwhelmingly, the answer is yes.
Yes, my day off yesterday was ruined because of the loss. The Cowboys have ruined more Thanksgivings than they've actually done well for me. You guys all remember how you felt after Game 6. I mean, everybody knows when Nelly Cruz missed that ball.
This is the worst thing.
Now you're the
worst. You always hurt my heart.
Yeah. Why would you do that? From the 4-3-2, this came in before even what you just said.
My Tuesday was so good, too.
Corey just had mouth diarrhea because they knew that you were about to reference the thing that you referenced.
I did want to throw this out there, too, Kevin, because this is something that we're going to get into at noon o'clock. From the cut four, has Zeke's performance been disappointing at all?
I think he's one of two or three of the best backs in the league. He can do a lot of things for us out there, does a lot of things for us. The week before against the Giants, he was outstanding in terms of his production. It didn't work out that way. But, look, I want us to have a better day than we had Sunday. I knew going into that game, just as everyone knew, that Minnesota was going to be a handful for us. They're a good team, and they're particularly good, and Mike Zimmer and his staff particularly good defense on defense. And so it was a challenge. We didn't underestimate them at all. And we had a chance to win that game at the end. We didn't get it done. The real story was their ability to be as physical as they were on their line of scrimmages.
Kevin, there was a question about Zeke's performance. And what did you hear? Deflection?
Yeah.
And covering it up with Minnesota was a good team.
Football's hard. Minnesota's a good team.
We're a good team. You're a good team, Jerry. You're a good team. Raise the expectation. Raise the bar for your guys. Put them on the line.
That would have been my follow-up question. Are you not a good team? Just to see what he would say. You would get something out of that. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Unfortunately, Hellman's celebration hit him a little hard this morning, but now we're told he's ready now. We'll have him next right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now on the KNC Masterpiece is David Hellman from DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. David, ham sandwich, chips, and Sports Center. That is how Ed Orgeron celebrated the victory over Bama. Your thoughts?
I prefer turkey, but listen, a sandwich and some potato chips is an underrated joy in life. And especially, like, put some of the chips on the sandwich and you're really cooking with gas. Good for him. I couldn't be prouder of my coach.
How much joy were you feeling in your life Saturday evening?
I'm embarrassed. I'm absolutely embarrassed by how happy I was.
Did you jump in a pool?
I jumped in a pool, yeah.
I saw the video.
My friends bet me I wouldn't do it. I did it. I might have cried. That's 10 years of catharsis. Wow. 10 years of agony, disappointment, coming up short, getting heartbroken, not feeling like you're good enough. And they washed it all away in one afternoon. And it's probably embarrassing or pathetic that I let college football team's win affect my mood swings so much. But here we are, and we beat Alabama, and they can suck it.
Whoa!
Did you yell that before you jumped in the pool?
Like I yelled
a more PG version of Orgeron's speech.
I yelled. Honestly, me and Ed sounded a lot alike because, like, by the end of the game, I was hoarse.
What? F*** you.
Yes, yeah! Sir. That's my coach. That is my coach. Yeah, I sounded a lot like that, and I think I was at my apartment complex. I think all my neighbors know where my loyalty lies after Saturday night, for sure.
Hey, can the Cowboys pick up the phone and go ahead and get Vernon Hargraves since he just got released?
I saw that. I don't know how well or poorly he's playing.
Apparently he doesn't put out any effort.
Oh, well, that's not what you want. I was going to say, I'm sitting here like I'm kind of spitballing and I'm like, well, cornerback, is that really like this team's biggest problem? I will allow Chido Awuzie absolutely did not have an awesome outing in that game. But if I was going to make a move at cornerback, I think I'd rather just try to find more snaps for Jordan Lewis than worry about Vernon Hargraves. I mean, that would kind of surprise me, I guess.
Were you surprised at his lack of snaps on Sunday because he had just been surging?
Am I surprised? No, just because I've followed the Cowboys for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, they're you know, you can call it stubborn, you can call it whatever you want. Like they're gonna do what they're gonna do. You know, we joke all the time, like they don't change, it doesn't seem like they change their approach or their game plan by the opponents. So it was always unsurprising that, you know, they're not gonna make drastic changes to their lineup based on the fact that Jordan Lewis was doing what he was doing, you know, two turnovers in two games. And, you know, with Chris Richard's preference for taller, longer cornerbacks, it always seemed unlikely that he would replace somebody on the outside. Maybe after this you might see it, but I'd be kind of surprised.
What were they doing up front defensively against this run game that created what it was, 47 yards for Zeke?
I mean, I know it sounds cliche, but loading the box, not just, you know, obviously, I said, I don't remember if I said it on y'all's show or one of our DallasCowboys.com shows, but I think this is the most talented front that the Cowboys played all year. That includes the Eagles, that includes the Saints. It's not just that they have horses on the front four, but their linebackers are fantastic, and they've got a good, strong safety in Harrison Smith who can play a role in that. Ironically, they didn't even have Linval Joseph, and they were still able to just completely, you know, dominate. I think a lot of it is just having that many guys up close to the line of scrimmage, and when you key that hard on it in the NFL, you can do that, especially when you have the talent that they do.
Now, we are hearing word about Connor Williams, his injury. Will you update everyone the extent and what the plan will be going forward on the Cowboys' offensive line?
He had a knee scope, or he's having a knee scope. I don't know if he's actually out of surgery yet, but he's getting his knee cleaned up. I don't know. He had this happen to him last year. I'm not sure if it's the same knee as last year. But I guess, you know, that was bothering him, which, you know, not surprising given that, you know, the Vikings gave him fits. I think that's a big part of it, too. You know, I hate to single guys out when you get dominated like that. You know, 47 rushing yards, obviously, it's more than one guy plays a role in that. But it certainly seemed like Connor Williams struggled to hold his blocks and handle his assignments. Maybe the injury is a part of that. I think the plan, you know, the Cowboys are always reluctant to say it, but I think the plan will be, you know, you have an experienced starter in Xavier Suofilo, who hasn't played much this year. I think he'll step in at left guard. He did a really nice job when this happened last year, honestly, like right around the same time. He stepped in mid-November, and I don't know, you can call it a coincidence or not, but the Cowboys started winning games when he stepped in. So I'm sure they'll be hoping he can help them get back on the right track again.
They know Dalvin Cook's good, right? Like they anticipated that he's a good running back. How did they not have a way to stop that guy?
Yeah, well, I mean, did you see and I'll be totally honest with you. You know, they played a night game, so you know, I think I got in bed at like 3 on Sunday night, and then the All 22 doesn't become available until like today. So like I haven't had a chance to completely dive into this game, but I did see. You know, it's going around on Twitter, like one of Cook's biggest gains came when there were 10 men on the field for the Cowboys.
Yeah,
so,
I just saw that.
Yeah, you know, maybe having the full allotment of players on the field would help. You know, in a game, I think most of us would agree this was a low point for the coaching staff. You know, that's just another black eye on their performance that something like that can happen. That said, I mean, the tackling just was not good enough. It's staggering to me, you know, how poorly they've defended screens this year, and I thought that was on full display against the Vikings. It makes me wonder, you know, do the Cowboys have enough beef, for lack of a better term, in the interior of their defense? Like, I think Antoine Woods is a really good player. Malik Collins is a heck of a pass rusher, but, you know, it seems like they need help at nose tackle in the sense of like a big, beefy, space-eating guy who can free up those linebackers to make plays because they haven't been able to this year. And it just seems like they kind of get exploited in the middle of their defense at times.
You're speaking Corey's language right now.
I've been begging for that for 10 years now. And,
I mean, I'm not saying anything that we've never said before. You know, the Cowboys have not put a ton of emphasis on defensive tackle or safety for that matter during Rod Marinelli's tenure. Like, they aren't positions that get valued a lot. You know, I think Malik Collins is, and now Michael Bennett, like, those are the most valuable defensive tackles they've had here. They spent a third-round pick on Malik. They traded a seventh-round pick for Bennett. It's just not something that they've invested a ton in. You know, I mean, you could say the obvious exception being Tristan Hill, who is a work in progress at this point in his rookie season. It's been a problem for them. They have not been able to find consistent talent there, and I think a big part of it is what they're willing to invest.
You were there for the press conference yesterday, right?
Yes, Garrett's.
Yeah, did he seem frazzled, or did he seem calm? With, I mean, because there were a ton of questions firing at him, and it was heat.
I guess you could say frazzled. I wouldn't say he was calm, but I don't think it was any more contentious than any other press conference after a loss. I mean, when you lose a close game like that, you're gonna get second-guessed on your play calls. You're going to get second-guessed on, you know, why did you attempt that field goal? Why didn't you attempt that field goal? Why didn't Tavon fair catch? Like, all that stuff is going to get asked. And, you know, Garrett, I think it's pretty normal for him to be contentious. And I get that. I mean, it's, you know, having the entire world second guess every single thing you do, knowing that had it worked, nobody would say anything. I'm sure that's really annoying. You know, having said that, that's obviously our job to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, press conferences after losses are always a little bit awkward. I didn't think yesterday's was any more so than normal.
Did you get the sense of, because there's been a lot of talk about deflection, like in terms of his discussion with Sean and RJ, oh, well, you know, Kellen calls the play, or, you know, we didn't really figure out what was going on with Tavon and all this and that. Like, did you get any sense, like, if you heard that interview or in the press conference, that he's starting to deflect a little bit more, or again, still same?
Yes, I agree with that point. Deflect, and that, I mean, this is just my experience in those situations, especially with Jason Garrett, is the tone is typically like, y'all don't know what you're talking about, and I do, and let me lay this out for you. You know, I mean, it can come across really condescending at times. Yeah, I mean, you go back to the post-game press conference. Immediately after the game, somebody asked him, you know, explain the second and two, third and two sequence, you know, the play calls, your thought process. And he's, you know, I think his direct quote was like, well, we were trying to score a touchdown. And it's like, oh, thanks. Thank you, Jason. I didn't realize that was the point of the sport. I appreciate that. Just things like, but again, I don't think it was out of character. I think typically, you know, situations like that, it's usually contentious. And I think there's usually an element of like, here we go. Everything I do is about to get second guessed by people who don't really understand what I'm doing. But I think it's been that way, you know, this year or any other year. I think that's just typically the way it goes when you ask competitors, you know, when you second guess them in the wake of a loss like that.
Is it arrogance or stubbornness to believe that they can get a first down whenever they're in a second and two situation like that by running the ball twice?
I think it can probably be a little bit of both, right? And here's the funny thing for me is I don't begrudge them that second and two call. Like, you have this tank of a running back and this good offensive line, and no, they weren't running it well all night, but they were averaging 2 yards per carry, which is exactly what they needed to get the first down. So I don't have a problem with that call at all. Calling it again and having your running back run east to west instead of north to south, I do have a little bit of an issue with that. And even more so, the thing that drives me crazy coming out of that game is way more about running into a stacked box on first and 10 over and over and over again. Trying to pick up 2 yards with your all-pro running back in crunch time, I don't think that's as crazy as a lot of people want to make it out to be. But and I will call it stubbornness, the stubbornness of continuing to try to make things happen with the run game on first and 10, that's a little bit crazy to me. That's kind of what sticks out as you know, what I would want to second guess coming out of that game.
At the risk of being told that Jason Witten has been a quality football player for a really long time, do you anticipate any more Blake Jarwin going forward?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, and I apologize, I haven't had a chance to like go through and rewatch everything on tape, but somebody pointed out to me, and I think it's correct, like in crunch time, like in that final drive moving down the field, you know, right before they turned it over on downs, like Blake Jarwin was in the game on that drive and Jason Witten was not, at least not like exclusively. He might have come on and off, but Blake Jarwin was getting plenty of run in that situation. I think that says a lot. So, you know, first of all, you need multiple tight ends. And second of all, obviously Jason Witten is a Hall of Famer. Like, I don't think he's going to like just be on the bench or anything crazy like that. But I do think there are ways you can up Jarwin's snap count even more than they already are. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen as the season goes along.
What kind of athlete is Amari Cooper? Is he the best athlete?
The crazy thing about Amari Cooper, and I said this on Sunday night, is he's a world-class athlete. He's elite, like his body control, obviously the way he, you know, three different sideline toe drag catches. But the crazy thing to me is like, he doesn't look like he's trying that hard when he does this stuff.
No,
you know, like
smooth.
Think back to like Dez Bryant. Like, he had this like raw,
violent.
Yeah. Violent is the perfect word to describe Dez's game. Like, he had this energy that like exuded from him when he did anything. And it doesn't come across that way when Cooper does it. And I'm not trying to belittle him, because I think it makes it even more impressive, is like he just does something jaw-dropping and makes it look routine, not only with his own, you know, body control and everything like that, but like his demeanor after he does it, he's just like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I just did that again. And it's like, it, like I said, it makes it even more impressive that he does this otherworldly stuff and he doesn't even seem fazed by it himself. It's fun to watch.
Did you just bring up Dez's name because you know he's going to be back here in a few weeks?
I hope to hell that Dez Bryant continues. I hope he gets another shot in the NFL. I hope we're not done watching him play. But
Think it's going to be sad or anything like that?
It ain't going to be with the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, I mean, it might. I don't know. Who knows? I want to see it. He's one of my favorite Cowboys that I covered during my time here. He's a hell of a lot of fun to watch at his peak. I don't know what it would look like if he played again, but you know, I hope that there's like one more Dez Bryant touchdown waiting out there for us, but I just don't think it'll be in a Cowboys uniform.
All right. Awesome stuff. You want to give us Orgeron impersonation on your way out the door?
One team, one heartbeat. Go Tigers.
There you go.
What the hell did you just say?
Thanks, man.
Something, one team, go Tigers.
No problem.
I didn't catch the very beginning of that. That's Dave Hellman, DallasCowboys.com. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, simple question, complicated answer. What's up with Kristaps? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. We're both local DFW products. Kevin is from North Garland High School, and I am from Bryan Adams High School in East Dallas. Shippy's from Plano, so we got a show full of guys that are all from here. That's why we're fans of the sports that are all right around here, man. We're rooting for our teams to be great at things. And, Kevin, we saw a team last night in the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks, two teams that you do believe are going to destroy the Cowboys in the playoffs if they play the way that they are right now.
And I don't think you would argue that the Cowboys would be favored over either one of those teams. And, I mean, I think the game would be competitive because the Cowboys are competitive. But I don't think you would pick them to win either one of those games.
That's how far away you are from being a contender. The Cowboys considered themselves title contenders.
Yeah.
When you watched that game last night, did you feel like the Cowboys were comparable?
No.
When you look at the Cowboys' record right now and where they would end up in the playoffs, if they were going to be in the playoffs against a team, they would be playing against Seattle.
They're going to lose that game. Look, pure and simple.
Wow, spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry. If the wild card round started this weekend again, sorry about the other games you were going to play. But I think you would argue that they're going to lose that game against Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really need to.
I think they would lose the game against San Francisco, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they would lose the game against New Orleans. They would lose the game against Green Bay. So
already lost those two games, Kevin.
Yeah. They would lose again.
Already lost those two games. All right. The other thing, though, is last night, Kristaps Porzingis had 4 points. He was 1 of 11 shooting in 20 minutes, and Rick Carlisle benched him at the very end of the game. Just benched him. Hey, you're not playing well enough. I can't have you out on my court right now. And I'm not trying to overreact to this, but you did have a load management on one of the back-to-backs. Hey, I got to take you out. And now he can't find his rhythm with this offense. And there was a moment where it felt all nice and fun, and there was a little bit of a honeymoon. My biggest concern with Kristaps was going to be how long would that honeymoon last, and how exciting would that be to see those guys.
You think
guys
it's over now?
He's frustrated though. This is now a guy that's becoming frustrated by what's going on with him on the court.
Did they sign a prenup?
No. Okay. You don't do that if you really love each other.
No, we did. We just gave him all the money. We're like, here, 5 years, take all the money. So no, we did not.
So with the frustration, I'm not saying that it's frustrated to a point where he's frustrated with himself. And his quote after the game, because Rick Carlisle said, there's nights like this. We're just going to have to flush it and move forward, kind of like Fish did earlier with Sean and RJ this morning.
Do we need to play that audio?
By the way, if you haven't heard that audio, there is audio of Fish flushing a toilet. He says that it was his Keurig, so he posted it on Twitter and posted it
nice
to us on Twitter.
Fish.
In the majors, I don't think, Kevin, go check it out. He says that it was Keurig. We'll see. We'll decide. But
he's naked and stuck in a bathroom.
Carlisle said, just flush it and move forward. But this is what Porzingis had to say about his bad performance. Of course, I want to be out there in the last few minutes, but I can't blame Rick Carlisle. I wasn't having a great game. I'm all in for whatever's best for the team. If the coach thinks he'd rather have me in out and someone else in that's better, hey, that's what we need to do. That's the most important thing, is winning a game. But going forward, I want to make sure I'm out there.
I love that attitude. And that's what everybody hoped that they were getting with Kristaps. Because the concern about Kristaps when you go back to New York is he didn't, I don't know, like I've heard a couple of variations of it. One of them was he doesn't love basketball. One of them was he doesn't have the killer instinct. So I'm not entirely sure, like both narratives are concerning, obviously, but When you hear him say, I want to be out there, that's what you need to hear if you're a Mavericks fan. Because, look, if this doesn't work, you're not really that much worse for wear because you didn't mortgage the future too much, given what we usually do with draft picks to get him. But if you ended up getting a top 30 player in the league who's young, all the better, and this will accelerate the rebuild around Luka significantly. So hearing him say, I see why Carlisle benched me. I don't like it, but I get it, and I want to be out there in clutch situations. That's everything that I need to hear, and I think people should because be like, all right.
That's a guy that wants to be better. Like, yes. That's a guy that's willing to put that work in.
Yes, because what did he say? The thing that he said that was key was he didn't say, well, obviously I always want to be out there. He said, I understand why the coach benched me, and then I always want to be out there. So he didn't just give you the generic, well, of course I want to play. He said, oh, yeah, no, I sucked. Well, more or less. And that's why I was on the bench.
You marked that ship.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then get ready for the next part, too. But when I don't suck, you should put me back out there.
Just wanted to.
You're welcome.
I like that. I like that, you know, you just said it. You know, he wants to be better, but he also sets aside the ego of a superstar or somebody who knows he can be a superstar in this league, who's shown stretches of being a superstar and being able to say, look, it's what's best for the team that I was on the bench. I respect my coach's decision.
Now, that's another great point, because ego is another thing I didn't throw in earlier. I said there was the logic of either he doesn't have the killer instinct or he doesn't love basketball enough. Ego is another thing. That's the third thing that people in New York were just, I mean, I know a lot of people were upset that he left, but there was a subsection of Knicks fans and New York basketball fans in general was like, fine. He's egotistical, even though he hasn't done anything. And so seeing him put aside ego, and you know what? Maybe he was egotistical because he knows this thing is going nowhere. Mm-hmm. You know, I always wonder how much easier it is to set aside ego when you're in a situation that you know is going to work for something much bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
And so if that's the case, then that's really encouraging from Shippey's perspective, because maybe he's like, okay, I can put my ego aside because we might make the playoffs. And instead, he was like, why would I put my ego aside when I can pad my statistics for my next contract because this team sucks?
We were very spoiled for a very long time by Dirk Nowitzki, the egoless basketball player. Like, he knew how talented he was, but it took a long time for Dirk to assume that role and become a leader. I mean, he was the best player, but it took a long time for him to be like, all right, in the fourth quarter, I need the ball. I want to be that guy because I'm our best chance to win. And then it took him that time just to get over that hump. I mean, obviously, the 2006 NBA championship was kind of a problem and everything, but even still, like, he got there. He got you to that. True. And then in 2011, he said, nobody's taking this from me. I'm not going to give anybody that opportunity. Now, I look at this Mavericks team right now. Nobody has. It's an egoless team. Did you see that video of Dirk? Or not Dirk, of Luka? And he's, Jackson's getting interviewed, and Luka's kind of standing there behind the media with his head stuck in his shirt, and he's kind of smiling goofy and everything. He's an infectious personality in that locker room, and I don't think he has an ego.
Can I ask a quick question about that, though? Because I'm going to disagree with you. I think I want to add a word. It's an unhealthy, egoless team. I think you absolutely need an ego for most people to achieve greatness. I think a lot of people achieve greatness because they have a certain level of ego behind them.
That 2011 team had confidence. They did not have an ego, right?
Is confident,
like, Jason Terry was your confidence.
Sometimes I think
they believed they should be there in that moment. They believed the shots were going to go down.
Sometimes I think the difference between confidence and ego is results. Right?
And like, perception.
Yeah, exactly. I don't always think that's a different thing. I just think, like, did you get the job done? Because we're super egotistical, but we got to the top of the nighttime ratings, and you're like, oh, that's fine. Yeah, you know, you backed it up. But if you don't, then everyone's like, you're a jerk. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. I do kind of wonder that to a certain extent. But I will certainly agree with you. I don't think it seems as if anybody on this team has an unhealthy ego. And if so, I have not seen it flare up thus far. And thus far, this team is in position. I think they're on pace to win 49 games. If this team wins 49 games, I know to some that would be a disappointment given the way they started. I would be freaking ecstatic if they won 49 games.
Is this team without Kristaps, like if something was to go wrong and he can't find a rhythm, he can't get it going, he can't get this thing moving, is this team capable of making the playoffs with Luka alone?
No. They had Luka last year, and he's better this year. I get that, but you weren't even close to the playoffs last year. So this team, without Kristaps working, you don't have another top-level player, with all due respect. They might get there, but you have a lot of players that are they're pretty good, and they have the potential to be really good, but you don't have another high-level player. You just don't.
But that's good. I mean, with Rick Carlisle at the helm in 2011, they didn't have another superstar on that team. It was a lot of role players filling in.
But their talent level was high.
Yes.
Jason
yes.
Kidd was once a superstar. Sean Marion was once a superstar. Jett was once a superstar. They all were veteran players. Tyson Chandler was
Tyson Chandler. Every single one of those players are better than any other player on the Mavericks roster.
Right.
I want to differentiate between a quality or high-level player and a superstar, because I do agree with you that. But I'll just say, Corey just rattled off four players that are all better than any other player that are on the Mavericks roster besides Luke and Kristaps. So I would argue that's the biggest difference is...
I guess I'm higher on Seth Curry than a lot of people.
Okay, fair enough. We might have to have this conversation another day. But Seth Curry is another player, same with Kleba, Jackson, Dorian Finney-Smith, Powell... Brunson, where I see the potential, but I don't understand like the people who think he's already there.
Right.
You know, and I see the potential. And if you tell me that out of that group of six, three to four of them make an all-star team somehow, some way at some point, or become like lauded players in the NBA, I believe all of that. It's just not there yet.
And when you were bringing up, if they won 49 games, you'd be ecstatic. I kind of compare them to the Rangers, how the Rangers were this year going in. There's a lot of young there's a lot of young potential. They don't have the Luka for the Rangers. I guess Gallo would probably be the closest to that.
And what happened? And what happened when Gallo got hurt? They regressed to the mean. They got to about give or take 500.
And he also got off to a great start like Luka's gotten off to.
And that is my exact thought, is if one of those two guys didn't work out or something happened to them, they would end up at about 40 to 42 wins. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here at 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I honestly cannot wait to see what the answers are for this. AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text, 877-881-1053. How many running backs in the NFL would you take over Zeke? Let us know. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.